What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Not bad, guys.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. Willard will be back tomorrow. And he'd never miss Greg Cosell.
No.
You don't got to worry about that.
Can't do
Cosell,
it.
Cosell's tomorrow, right?
That's right, yeah.
So he'll be back for Greg Cosell.
One last look at Philly, and we turn the page to always the next game, and what's cool is there is a next game for the Niners.
At least one more.
Yep.
Another division game. You might be looking at two more division games if you win this one. Oh, in addition to this one, you got one more, but yep. Two more total, potentially.
That would be great, and then a matchup maybe with Buffalo. You try to end your drought, and Buffalo tries to get their first ever.
That would be quite the storyline.
That would be, and we'll get into all the storylines next week when you have just four teams remaining. But already there's some interesting ones like in each of these four games coming up over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, I think there's a little bit of trash talk beginning for the Niners and the Seahawks,
okay,
which we will get into coming up. But as promised, let's go out to the phones. 888-957-9570. Dibs and I were just breaking down this Niners-Seahawks matchup. The second time in 2 weeks these two teams will match up. It'll be consecutive games for the Seahawks against the Niners as they had the bye. The Niners, of course, played the Eagles in between. We'll see how that impacts this one. But up first is Chris, who's in the height. What's up, Chris? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Great takes today. I'm going to sound a little bit like Captain Obvious, but I think the Niners, they've got to be able to run the football. I think they have a good shot at sustaining some drives, and you can't get into these really long third downs, have that pass rush barreling down on you. So before week 18, without Trent after the bye, the Niners actually averaged, 161 rushing yards weeks 15 through 17. They had 137 versus Tennessee, 145 versus Indy, and then they had 200 versus Chicago. So I think if they can get something going, maybe peel off 4 yards of carry, end up with 100, maybe 105, 110 yards, it's really going to open up the offense and then really let them have some success. So that's all I got for you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Chris. And, I mean, maybe that is Captain Obvious, but, you're absolutely dead right. Like, they have to run the ball. And
right.
What's crazy is, against Seattle 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, per carry, it actually wasn't that bad. More than four per carry. It's just they ran the ball, 10 total times?
12 for 53.
12 total times.
Yeah.
And that's a recipe for disaster against Seattle, because with their pass rush, they will get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Niners could not protect Purdy in that game. They were down Trent Williams, which is a factor, of course. But if you're able to run the ball, as we're talking about, you stay out of third and longs, and you limit the number of times that Brock has to drop back to pass when the Seahawks know he's dropping back to pass. That makes everything so much easier.
And you protect your defense. And I think that's
true.
The most important piece of this, where you can't have your defense play 36, 37 minutes. They're not built for that. And I ran the numbers. When Kittle plays the full game, they average 3.9 per carry. When Kittle doesn't play, 2.99 per carry.
So a yard difference.
A yard difference
that's
per carry.
That's pretty big.
And it's a little bit skewed because with Kittle, you did face Cleveland, a good D, 33 carries for 91, not great. You faced Houston, 10 carries for 48 with Kittle.
Wow.
But the Rams, without, 33 for 74. With Kittle, you wound up going 21 for 74. So, again, better average, 74 yards each time and 12 fewer carries. But you won't have Kittle. Tonjes not as good of a blocker. Farrell is a good blocker, so this becomes a Shanny special. How are you going to design it so you have a little bit of confusion? Because if it's just Tonjes, the defense is going to probably feast against the run. And if it's just Farrell, they're going to feast against the pass.
Exactly. You become a little bit predictable right. based on who's on the field.
Yes.
And that's like Kittle's superpower is when he's on the field, he helps you do both things.
Yeah.
So the defense doesn't have like a read. The offense doesn't have a tell in those personnel decisions.
And McCaffrey too, and Juice.
Exactly.
And that's where the, you know, when
that's what made Debo so good
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Your offense was, you know, five eligibles. You never knew what was coming based on the huddle. And now if you see that it's Farrell and Juszczyk in there with McCaffrey, you're kind of smelling a run.
Like, how many catches does Farrell have this year? Is it like four? Let's see.
That's a good guess. I'm going to put the over on four catches for Luke Farrell.
Oh, that's postseason. I don't want just postseason numbers.
Oh, he's got 11. How dare you?
11. Okay.
And a couple of tuds.
Oh, that's right.
More
I forgot he had a couple of touchdowns.
More touchdowns than Ricky Purcell. More touchdowns than Purcell.
Pearsall still stuck on zero touchdowns.
Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson has the one, and that doesn't include the postseason, so now he has two, but there you have it.
But still, I mean, 11 catches in the course of 17 games that he played in the regular season, and plus the postseason game, yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. You can kind of, if you're the Seahawks, decide what you're going to do defensively based on who's on the field at tight end for the Niners. Let's go out to Tony in Santa Clara who wants to join the conversation. What's up, Tony? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy today. How you doing?
Hey, nice to hear from you, Grandy.
Thanks,
hey,
man.
It's a nice day. It's a little warmer, right, wouldn't you say?
Yep,
feels good.
My thoughts are that, like, lately I've been, you know, I take my kid to school every morning and then I pick him up, and all I hear is people bashing Shanahan, bashing Lynch, and like, oh, and ownership as well. We lost like two of the major big cash pays on our team, and we're in a position right now to play in a game like this. Like, you got to give Lynch some credit. Like, he found a couple linebackers at a Taco Bell, somebody said.
Yeah.
I mean, one was getting a burrito supreme, the other Jumbo Jack. I mean, come on. So I'm just unhappy that, like, the Bay Area, we're used to winning. You know, I grew up with the 80s Niners, and, you know, like, some of these kids never saw, like, some of the stuff we're seeing a little bit now, but, like, we've got some good people in that building. I don't understand. Like, I've been around long enough to know, like, once these two guys are gone, do you remember what we had before? Thomas Sula? Remember his press conference? It's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
That's
Tony,
an all-time classic.
You're absolutely, I mean, and Chip Kelly? Like, there's, the list goes on and on for how
Dennis
bad
Erickson,
it was.
Dennis Erickson, 9-23, following the mooch.
Oh, man.
Mike Nolan, I mean, look good in the suit. It's a gutsy effort, 18-37.
Mike Nolan.
Can't do it. Mike Singletary, 18-22. So you went, you had Harbaugh, who won and went to a bowl.
Really
Shanahan
good 4 years.
Won and went to a bowl. Yes. And then you had Kelly and Tom Sula combined 8-28 and 25. You had Erickson and Nolan and Singletary all with losing records. So between the Mooch and Shanny, you had the 4 years of Harbaugh, which were meteoric. And then other than that, he's right. Like, appreciate what you have.
Absolutely. And specifically a year like this, there's little room. You can disagree and you can quibble here and there about maybe a decision or maybe not being willing to part with a third round pick this coming season for some help with a deadline. You can say, well, you knew there was an Ayuk issue in the offseason. Did you think maybe that you could have helped the wide receiver room leading into the season? Like, there are little things that we can quibble with, Dibs. But when you zoom out, you look at the bigger picture, and this is kind of going hand-in-hand what we talked about early with how good Shanahan has been and why I think he's one of the most individually valuable people in the entire NFL world. When you just take a step back and say that they were a win away from the one seed in the NFC, they made the playoffs, they won against the defending champions in Philadelphia in the first round of the postseason, despite all of their injuries and everything that they've been through, it is hard for me to find anything that really substantially upsets me about what those guys have done.
Exactly, which is why going into this weekend's game, house money, whatever, and moral victory, those are just expressions, but the satisfaction that satisfaction that I have felt from this team this season goes beyond the Sunday win at Philly. The whole year has been such a delightful surprise. I want it to keep going, but I'll understand on Monday if it doesn't.
Yeah.
Considering all the things that you've been talking about and the adversity, and So no Kittle, no Bosa, no Warner. On the road at Seattle, 7.5-point
dogs. Against the one seed, yeah.
The one seed and a team that has not allowed you to do anything on offense in eight quarters.
Like, this is not lined up for the Niners to win this football game. But neither was Philadelphia.
Philly was more so, though.
More so, but it's not as if they were favored or expected to win that game. Not at all.
Not at all, and the money came in on Philly, but, you know, we all could reverse engineer it and see that Philly was kind of broken, where the receiver hates the coach, the quarterback hates the coordinator. Coordinator hates the coach. That thing is kind of broken. The kicker was a little bit shaky. Big Dom's breaking up fights. The fan base had lost faith. That thing was kind of set up for the Niners to be able to steal it, and they did.
Yeah, and this game against the Seahawks is way more difficult than that game against Philly. No one's doubting that. But it's not as if things were, from the Niners' side of things, things were not lining up for the Niners going into that game either. And now going into this game, the thing that's changed is George Kittle tore his Achilles. They don't have Kittle anymore either. Like, it's also clearly not lining up for them in this game either. Does not mean they can't go out there and win it. It's just going to be a gigantic challenge. We got to take a quick break. We got more time for your calls if you want to weigh in at 888-957-9570+. As we mentioned earlier, there is some trash talk beginning to trickle in, and it seems specifically like it's coming from Seattle to the Niners. Jaron Reed, defensive tackle, he's said some things. And Uchenna Nwosu taking to Instagram to trash talk a little bit. We'll tell you what those guys said when we return as the trash talk. It's heating up between the Niners and the Seahawks ahead of this divisional round matchup on Saturday. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you. We're sponsored by Safeway. More next.
Kyle Shanahan in year number 9, and there is second-year head coach Mike McDonald. 10-win team a year ago and 14-win team here in 2025-26, and they will get the bye with the number one seed.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
There's a lot of teams going into the Shanahan tree and the outside zone stuff.
Shut up!
On 95.7 The Game.
That's John Feliciano. He's joining us in about 40 minutes here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy, though. I'm in for Willard, who will be back tomorrow. The highlight you heard, though, that was Joe Buck on ESPN calling the final seconds of the Seahawks 13-3 win.
More like a low light, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get to call much action in that football game.
No, a couple missed field goals, a doink, and other than that, a lot of punts.
13-3 was the final. The Seahawks used that to claim the NFC West and the one seed in the NFC. Niners relegated to the sixth seed in the NFC. They have since, of course, beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia on Sunday. They're now on to the divisional round, where they will take on the Seahawks on Saturday. And that's why we're talking Niners and Seahawks and Dibs. I feel like people around my age, I'll be 30 this year. Big year for me, turning 30.
Ooh.
Don't want to turn 30, but big year for me.
Well,
I wasn't around, or definitely wasn't old enough to remember a lot of the classic Niners-Cowboys matchups. And until recently, Dibs, the Niners hadn't played the Cowboys in the playoffs since like that era of Niners and Cowboys, when they were the two dominant teams in the NFC. So growing up, for the most of my life growing up, the Niners were pretty bad. At least once I got old enough to remember and actively watch, like post Steve Young, there was some playoff appearances with Jeff Garcia. But then beyond that, before Alex Smith had the first good year of his career, the Niners were really, really bad. You just named some of the other coaches that have, you know, led this team post Steve Mariucci. It was largely bad. And I never really felt like the Niners had a classic rivalry that I can remember, like, taking part of and being a part of, that I had a gigantic emotional response
Interesting.
To. And then Harbaugh and Pete Carroll brought the Niners and the Seahawks to the forefront in the NFC West. And so for me, I have always, or ever since that era, I have always felt like the Seahawks were more the Niners' rival than the Cowboys. And that's just, I think, my perspective as someone that was not around when those Niners-Cowboys games were the must-see games all year in the NFL. But these last couple of matchups, Niners-Seahawks, specifically if this postseason one is a competitive one, I think it's going to go a long way to maybe bringing back a little bit of that rivalry that I remember so fondly back in those Harbaugh and Pete Carroll days.
Yeah, and I think it's mostly back anyway, because Seattle's good and the Niners are good, and they both, I think, are trending toward still being good, young coaches and talented teams and the rest. And I was just looking at some of the years of those Seattle and Niner games, and that's kind of Pete Grandy as a kid, because you're born in 96.
Yeah, so 14, 15, 16, 17.
Yeah, 11, 12, 13, you know, all those years where Harbaugh was there and they were good and they were competitive with Seattle and, all the rest of it. But for me, it is Dallas because I was at that same age in 81. Yep. I was at actually the first game that year, the first Niner game I ever went to, because we did not have a lot of means in my house, four kids and two working parents. And they used to have a thing called the Berkeley Farms Junior 49er Minor Club, where you show up to this club meeting during the week. And it was kind of propaganda from the Niners, but they gave you free tickets. So my dad and I got two free tickets. And the seats, though, I don't know if you remember Candlestick or if you even ever went to Candlestick, but the seats that they would give us for free were partially obstructed in the south end zone.
Classic.
Because you know where those bleachers come out where the old right field was?
Yep.
These seats were kind of blocked for half the field behind those bleachers. Yeah. But I was there. Niners beat the Cowboys 45-14. That's they would go on to beat them in the NFC Championship. But I was kind of in the same age that you were with the Seattle thing. So for me, it'll always be Dallas. But the Rams, they've had some classics. Seattle, for sure. Green Bay, which again was probably a little bit before your time with you know, some of those classic games, but the Seattle one definitely gets the blood pumping.
You know, the Harbaugh, Pete Carroll part of it, of course, was big because of their Stanford and USC ties as well. But yeah, that's the first time I really felt like real pride in an NFL rivalry for the Niners specifically. And I bring that up because, of course, that's the matchup on Saturday, Niners and Seahawks, winner goes to the NFC Championship game. But there is a little bit of trash talk that is percolating, specifically out of Seattle. I will first bring up, Dibs, what has happened on Fred Warner's Instagram. I say what happened like it's a gigantic deal. It's not that bad, but there is some trash talk going on here. Fred yesterday posted an Instagram post with a bunch of pictures, himself, his son, his wife, and his newborn kid as well. There's an AI-generated image of Brock Purdy doing the Dougie, I believe, on some like plastic Seahawk-colored chickens.
Wow.
And he's also wearing those black jerseys that they wore in Week 18. We should probably never wear those jerseys again. But there's a lot on here. There's a picture of him with Kittle. Fred with Kittle, and then some work that he's been doing on the practice field as well to maybe signal, you know, I'm close to coming back. He didn't have any caption on this post, just put up all the images and a couple of short videos. But Uchenna Nwosu, Dibs, a Seahawks linebacker, commented on the post and said, "The road ends here, brother. The road ends here." I mean, it's harmless. It's not that big of a deal.
It's early week trash talk.
But you know, it's coming out from Seattle a little bit. Uchenna Nwosu, the road ends here. You ain't coming back is what that translates as. Fred, you ain't playing the rest of this season because we're ending your season on Saturday.
It's possible, and the road will end for one team. And by the end of the weekend, four teams will have their road end. Only one road will end there. Niners have won four consecutive in Seattle, so
I don't think Brock's ever lost in Seattle.
That sounds about right, including, this year it was Brock in the, it was the opener, right? And Brock made it, he made it through that game.
Yes.
That's when he hurt the toe, though, right?
Yes, at some point.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
In that game,
they beat Seattle 17-13, and last year they beat them 36-24, and before that 31-13, and before that 21-13. So they put it on Seattle. This feels like a different Seahawk team, and you know, even that week one win was one that you kind of pulled out of the fire. It counts, and you needed it to be where you are today. But yeah, you've four straight trips, you've gone up there and got the dub.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Fred Warner, I think maybe what this is about, again, Uchenna Nwosu commenting on Fred Warner's post saying, quote, "The road ends here, brother." Fred Warner was on the Ryan Russillo show and was asked about potentially returning for the playoffs. I believe this was recorded before the Eagles game, but this is Fred Warner talking about his potential return, and here's what Fred had to say.
I'm ready whenever they're ready. You know what I'm saying? There's some T's that got to be crossed, I's that got to be dotted. Unfortunately, if it were just up to me, I'd be out there this weekend. But it's unfortunately not that. It's not that way, right? I got to make sure that I'm checking all the boxes, and everybody has to give me the okay before they let me go out there. But I'm pushing, man. I'm training. I'm training hard. I'm back doing full football drills and everything. So time will tell, man. We got to pull the win off first.
Again, that was Fred talking about before the Eagles game. He said he
that was before the Eagles game.
Before the Eagles game. Up to him, he would have played in that Eagles game.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he did not. Niners got the win. But that seems to give you a little bit more confidence about this weekend, potentially.
Yeah.
And the news that we can share with you is that Kyle Shanahan and the Niners have opened Fred Warner's practice window. Here's Shanahan from today.
We're activated. We're opening his window so he can do some stuff like that. But again, we're not doing much. So he'll walk through out there with us today and things like that. But hoping he can be ready for next week.
Okay, so maybe a little bit of good news, bad news. His window is open, which means the Niners have 21 days to activate him. Their season might be over in a handful of days. So that might not really matter if they lose this game, of course. But there's no rule that says you can't open the window and then a couple of days later activate him. But he's tampering expectations, and he's saying we're hopeful for the NFC Championship game. If we get there, there is, of course, one big obstacle standing in their way, and that's the Seahawks.
Yeah, and the other obstacle is the Saturday game and the idea that you're probably not going to do that much this week. You're coming off a Sunday game, and it's a short week because you play on Saturday, so your schedule is a little bit more condensed. And Kyle even said today that, you know, for example, today, normally I think it's a 7-hour day where you go through a lot of different things and you practice. Today, I think it's going to be 3 or 3.5 hours and guys coming in and it's a walkthrough and stuff and it's the game plan. So I don't know how much actual hard football activity there's going to be for him to show how ready he is. But Shanahan also mentioned that the doctors have to see him do these things. And if he can do it on the side, and you know he's working hard, so there's a chance, right?
Yeah, here's more of what Shanahan said. He says he's listening to the doctors when it comes to Fred.
I'm approached by what doctors tell me. I mean, I'm like Fred. If he feels good and tells me he's good, I'm probably going to think he's good and trust him to get out there. But you can't always think with your heart and emotionally, you know. And so you ask doctors where he's at, all the things that these guys have to pass, just protocols that we have in with just sprinting and jumping and things like that. And he's got to hit all those before we feel it's safe.
And then one more from Shanahan asked if Fred pushed for the team to open his practice window, which has been open today. Here's more Shanahan.
No, that's not Fred's style totally. He does that by showing how hard he's working on the side and knows that we're watching. So he knows he doesn't have to do that to me. As soon as he's ready, obviously it'll be zero decision on my part.
And he says he's ready. Shanahan says, well, I'm going to trust Fred, but he's also going to listen to the doctors. It's interesting because, again, before the Eagles game, Fred said, if it's up to me, I'd be good to go now, and we'll see about next week. First, we got to get there. Well, they've gotten there, and now we'll see what happens over the next handful of days. Again, the Niners play Saturday. You mentioned it's a short week. Everything is moved up. The team isn't going to be doing all that much in terms of, like, physicality this week in practice because they have the short week. They want to save their bodies and recover as much as possible, which means Fred isn't going to have a real opportunity to like get into contact again before a game that he plays in if it were to happen this week. I would be surprised, Dibs, if he were to play on Saturday. There's no doubt, though, that it's going to be difficult for the team looking at what they're going up against to go into that game without Fred Warner if there's even a 10% chance that he could play and be somewhat effective.
I would be shocked, and this is from Matt Maiocco. I'm reading it off of ESPN, but it says, the hope is if the Niners advance, then he would be ready for the NFC Championship game. The other part of it is if Fred is a maybe and you go ahead and you put him on the active roster, you take somebody out, that somebody you take out might be somebody you need on special teams. Mm. And, you know, Luke Gifford is questionable. He's your number one special teamer. He's actually going to the Pro Bowl. And so the more you look at the totality of your roster, especially special teams that were not great against Philadelphia, put aside the kicking part of it, into the wind. Thomas Morstead had a couple of wet newspapers that he tried to kick into that 25-mile-an-hour wind, but the coverage wasn't great, the return game wasn't great, and so you need to have even your special teams at its best, and If Fred Warner's a maybe, then I don't know if you can give up a roster spot.
That's fair.
It just depends on how, and we always play the percentage game. If he's 80%, he goes.
Well, what did Trent say? Trent said he was like 75 or 80%, I think is what he said.
Right.
Going into that game in Philly.
He plays.
He played.
Yeah, he plays. I mean, and Trent, even if he's 50%, he plays. He's
is that different than Fred?
I think so. Yeah, because if you're Trent, and you know he's never had the injury before, but he's played through a bad ankle for half a year, and he is, I mean, he's everything on your offensive line, I believe. And, you know, you give him a shot, and if he can't go, Austin Pleasance, sure. But if you don't activate Trent, you start Austin Pleasance, and who's your backup swing tackle? I mean, it doesn't even really, at that point, it doesn't really matter. So with Trent, I do think it's a little bit different.
Interesting.
And he was listed today as, you know, I guess hamstring slash vet day.
Yeah, they didn't really do anything today, but like the estimated practice report would have been that he did not do anything. And Shanahan gave two reasons, as you're right, the hamstring and he said hamstring slash vet day. Last week it was just hamstring. It was not vet day. So at least that's, I guess, a step in the right direction. Plus he played and seemed to get out with without, you know, hurting it even further. I would be equally maybe shocked if he doesn't play this week. Like he's going to play. Fred, I would be pretty surprised if he was going to play. But there
I'd be equally surprised if Ricky Pearsall did play.
Oh, you don't think Ricky's playing?
He was limited today. Limited in a walkthrough. So, and I'm imagining what that's like. Like, you know, you start, don't walk. Well, Ricky, we don't want you to walk through now.
For walkthroughs or for days where they don't actually do all that much, sometimes it's like an estimated practice report. Is that correct? What today was?
Yep. Officially estimated as limited.
So that means if they were to do a full practice, he would be limited. Not he was limited on the limited practice they did.
I'm just picturing him limited in a walkthrough, and they have him in an office chair, and they're like wheeling him on routes. Like somebody's just pushing him so he doesn't have to walk.
You can't jog, Ricky.
Right.
You're gonna power walk.
Yeah, you're limited. So, you know, we don't even want you to walk. You have some crutches. You can crutch through the walkthrough. It's a crutch through. I don't know. This is all gambling. They have to put out a report.
An estimated report.
Right. And then tomorrow you'll get a better idea. And then by Thursday we'll get the official, right? With a Saturday game.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll see where it all goes from here. But I would agree on Fred. I agree on Trent. I don't know about Ricky. I know that so for the similar reason that you're talking about with Fred, that roster spot could be valuable when it comes to special teams, and I know you feel a similar way about Ricky Pearsall, but in my mind, the benefit that he would bring if he's just out there offensively as one of your only receivers, maybe your only receiver that you think can beat a good DB just purely based on route running, that doesn't need to rely on great scheme to get open against this defense, I think you need all the help you can get. If Ricky's close, I'm activating him and I'm playing him, and I'm saying to hell with that last roster spot. We'll figure things out on the back end.
And he was able to, against Chicago, gut it out December 28th, and he had 5 catches for 85. He played 80% of the snaps, which is about his norm. He was at 78% all year, so he went out there and played, gave it a go again, and got re-injured and sat Seattle and sat Philly. So, yeah, the PCL is such a thing where the instability probably is still there, but I'm with you. If he can go out there and give you 80% of the snaps, he is a real threat in the pass game.
Absolutely. But there is some trash talk that's coming in from Seattle. Again, on Fred Warner's Instagram post, Uchenna Nwosu, a linebacker, commented, the road ends here, brother. And then Jaron Reed in Seattle at availability today. He's a Seahawks defensive tackle. Had this to say about the rivalry with the Niners.
For one, we get a team that we don't like, me personally, don't like nothing about them. But, you know, just get a chance to, you know, go at them again. We don't do too much talking. You know, we let our past talk. But we know what's at stake. They know what's at stake. You know, it's about getting out of there between them lines and, you know, hitting the head on. Man on man, mano a mano.
I don't like anything about the Niners.
Who's that?
That is Jaron Reed, defensive tackle.
I like his style.
I like it, too. It is funny that he says, I don't like anything about the Niners. And then he says, we don't talk that much. Well, no. You're just talking right now, buddy.
About his drawl. We let our pads do the talking.
Hey, let's play it one more time. Jaron Reed, Seahawks defensive tackle.
For one, we get a team that we don't like. Me personally, don't like nothing about them. But, you know, just get a chance to, you know, go at them again. We don't do too much talking. You know, we let our-
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
I pass talk, but we know what's at stake. They know what's at stake. You know, it's about getting out of there between them lines and, you know, hitting the head on. Man on man, mano a mano.
I like this is what sports is missing nowadays, Dibs. It is like, and that's not bad. That's not like a guy saying, I hate all those players over there. But he said, I don't like nothing about them. I don't like anything about those Niners. That kind of stuff fires me up, and it makes me more excited for this Saturday.
No doubt, and I was trying to catch the draw. I thought I was here in New Orleans, but he went to East Mississippi and Alabama from North Carolina, so he got a little bit of that draw.
North Carolina, yeah.
We let our pads do the talking.
East Mississippi, do you go to East Mississippi Community College?
The East Mississippi Community College, yeah.
That was one of the colleges featured on Last Chance U. A number of years ago.
Okay.
I wonder if he was...
This was 2012, 2013, so he might have preceded that.
Before the Netflix series. But
I'm not mad at the trash talk, and you know, as long as it's not super personal. And one thing to keep your eye on is Juwan Jennings' personal fouls for and against. Because that's a metric. Because this past game, he drew a personal, he drew a hands to the face, he got you 20 yards.
Yeah.
That should go on your stat sheet as a player, like... He got them an additional 20, although the 15 was only half the distance on the PAT.
Yeah, true.
So not a true 15, but Juwan's going to giveth and he'll taketh away as well.
It's like Brandon Pajemski, block or charge.
Right.
Is it a foul on you or a foul on the opponent? It's a bang bang call.
It is. And he, you know, Juwan's got a little bit of the Draymond in him where, you know, he's out there trying to get under people's skin. So yeah, there's no love lost, especially when you get to this spot. Each team knows what's at stake, and he said that. And if you're Seattle, you're thinking, we're the one seed, we're coming off the bye, this is our conference to win.
Yeah, and Kyle Shanahan also was asked about some of this trash talk, if you want to call it that, today at his availability. Here's Shanahan on the trash that's been talked by the Seahawks heading into this game.
Yeah, I think that's all like wrestling, I guess. Just fake entertainment, and if it distracts someone or gets them out of preparation or something, or they lose their emotions during the game and they make things personal or something, then of course, but I think everyone's just having fun.
That's what it sounds like to me too.
Yeah.
And that's I like it though. I want more of it.
I want
everyone to get the juices flowing.
A little bit like the wrestling though, and he's right. Like, you know, it's just talk, and then you get out there and like Jaron said, when you get between them lines, that's when everything gets settled.
Hmm. But
playing off of the Philly game, the one thing that they did against Philly, they absolutely have to do again, which is play clean. Brock with the two picks, fine. You had one penalty. You had none of the parking tickets that I talk about, which is delay a game, illegal formation, false start, illegal motion, all the pre-snap BS that, you know, costs you five, and then the crowd noise gets into it. Now you're behind the sticks. You've got to play a clean game if you're the Niners, and that means none of these, you know, unnecessary hands to the face on defense, penalties, or lining up in the neutral zone. You got to be clean and give yourself a chance to win.
Yeah, they weren't terrible penalty-wise against the Seahawks in Week 18. Only three penalties for 31 yards. That's not bad either. But you're right. You're a game in which you are more than a touchdown underdog on the road in Seattle against the one seed. You're going to have to play really, really clean football. There's no doubt about it. But we got to hit a break here in a little more than a minute. If you want to join the conversation, though, about these Seahawks, 888-957-9570, because still, Dibs, I feel the most emotions from my Niner fandom about these Seahawks. I don't think it's really all that close. I know the Niners have played the Cowboys in the postseason twice in the Shanahan era, and once was, what, 2 years ago, and then before that, it might have been 2 years prior to that when they beat the Cowboys in Dallas. Then they beat the Packers in Green Bay. Then they fell to the Rams in the NFC Championship game. But still, the team that I hate the most are the Seattle Seahawks. And 888-957-9570, which team do you hate the most, Niner fans? Because it's clearly Seattle for me. I don't like the Cowboys. I don't like the Rams. I don't like a lot of teams. But the level of hatred I feel for the Seahawks is shared by no other opponent in my mind.
And that's generational, and I love it. For me, it will always go back to Dallas and, you know, the years where Aikman won the whole thing and they kept getting the Niners in the NFC Championship game, and you just couldn't get past that team. And the Niners got one more. Young got the monkey off his back. And since then, your whole life, Grandy, the Niners have not been able to get it done. Your whole life.
They last won the Super Bowl, the 94 season, the 95 Super Bowl, and I was born a year and a half later.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't even claim, can't even claim bun in the oven status.
No, I can't.
Like, you were not even a thought.
Maybe I am, like, the bad luck charm here. Maybe I'm the reason.
Go ahead and cut that. I think we found the answer. I'm sorry, Lucas. I didn't mean to wake you.
I'm the reason the Niners haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995. Yeah. I just need one, Dibs. That is all I need. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We've got John Feliciano, former Niner offensive lineman. He's coming up in about 18 minutes here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. Plus, I know you did a deep dive, Dibs, about Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah.
And what he's done in the postseason to this point in his career. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're not going to want to miss what Dibs has unearthed about Brock Purdy's first handful of years in the NFL. We'll do that coming up next. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you. More after this. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to the home of every Warriors game, 95.7 The Game. Mark Grandy is on the pre and post tonight. Lock in, Dub Nation.
Thanks, Lucas. Thanks for playing that, and thanks, Pods. Yeah, I got Warriors Live coming up at 7 tonight. Yeah, that's not a mistake. It's 7 Warriors Live, which means the game tips off at 8. The Blazers are in town. It's an NBC and Peacock game tonight, so 8 o'clock start. Also, of course, right here on 95.7 The Game. As always, I got Warriors Live at 7. This is Willard and Dibs. I'm in for Willard, so Dibs and Grandy with you. We've got former Niner offensive lineman John Feliciano coming up in about 10 minutes here on 95.7 The Game. But Dibs, before we get to Feliciano, and we'll talk a lot of offensive line with him, we'll talk Trent Williams with him, and we'll take a look at this upcoming matchup versus the Seahawks as well. I know you did. Is this a full-on deep dive?
Oh, full-on.
Full-on. We need the sound effect then. We got a full-on deep dive from Dibs. It's Deep Dive Dibs talking about Brock Purdy in his first handful of years in the NFL. Is that correct?
Exactly, and just where he ranks.
There we go.
Thank you. And I know quarterback wins is a little bit of a misnomer because the whole team wins, but I was just looking at quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era in their first four seasons as a starter. Who's got more playoff wins than Brock Purdy?
First four seasons as a starter. So not first 4 years in the league. So
correct.
Like Mahomes' rookie year doesn't count because he didn't start that year.
Jalen Hurts' rookie year doesn't count because he started a game or two late.
Yeah.
So I looked at certain situations, and I know Brock Purdy wasn't a starter until he was, and he won all five. But I counted that year because by the time he got the gig, he was the starter. So there's a little bit of a gray area in how I computed it, but there's only a handful of guys in the Super Bowl era with more wins in their first 4 years than Brock Purdy.
I would imagine that Patrick Mahomes is probably number one.
Indeed he is. He's got eight playoff wins from Mahomes in his first 4 years as a starter, and he also has a Super Bowl win. He is number one on this list.
Okay.
Who else?
Who else wins a bunch of playoff games right
there
when they start playing?
With seven wins.
I mean, it's got to be Tom Brady.
Correct. Seven playoff wins in his first 2 years. And his first year, he didn't start.
That's right, Lucas.
So that one got waved off. He started, I believe, in year two.
Yeah.
And we went from there. Thank you. Seven wins and two Super Bowls. He's the only one with two Super Bowl titles on this list. There's another guy with seven.
Seven Super Bowl wins?
Seven playoff wins in his first 4 years.
Playoff wins in the first 2 years.
He's currently kind of a punchline in the National Football League.
Currently a punchline?
More of a laughingstock.
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Give him the ding.
Yes.
Russell Wilson, seven playoff wins in his first 4 years as a starter, including one Super Bowl as well.
And one of those wins was over the Niners in the postseason.
Yeah, too soon, Grandy. Too soon.
So, okay, we've got Good work back there, Lucas.
Great hustle.
The sound effect only counts when Dibs is talking. I like it.
Because I'm the one who does the deep dive.
You missed him, his few words right there, but that's okay.
So, I'm a man of very few words. Russell Wilson, 2012. He won one. The next year, he won three in the bowl. Then he won two. Then he won one. First 4 years, seven wins, and a Lombardi.
Okay, so we've got Mahomes, we've got Brady, and we've got Russell Wilson, and there's only one left?
There's two quarterbacks with six.
Two quarterbacks with six.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers did not play for his first 3 years, so you're counting year four on his first 4 years as a starter. I will guess Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sorry, Grandy. He only has four playoff wins and the one Super Bowl. And, there are other quarterbacks with five, including our own hero, Brock Purdy. Two guys with six. One I don't think you're going to get, and it's Kenny Stabler.
Ah.
Six playoff wins in his first 4 years with the Raiders, including the Super Bowl. This other guy I think is gettable, so I'll let you go ahead and try to get it.
I remember in his first, I think his second year, he won the Super Bowl. Big Ben? Is Big Ben up there?
I'm glad you guessed that, Grandy, and thank you for playing, but sorry, no.
Oh.
Big Ben with five.
Oh, I'm so close.
And a Super Bowl. Yeah, and this is where it gets a little bit nuanced because Jalen Hurts started four games his rookie year, but I didn't count that because he was not the starter, and the four games he started were mop-up duty for a team that was terrible.
Yeah.
So I started the next year, which was 2021, so Jalen Hurts actually has six and a Super Bowl.
So both runs to the Super Bowl count for Jalen Hurts.
Exactly.
Because, that makes sense. I should have gotten that one.
Some interesting ones, though, like Peyton Manning with zero his first 4 years.
He started as a rookie.
And they were god-awful.
Yeah, he was god-awful.
Yeah, Eli Manning with four, incidentally enough, and it all came in the 1 year where they ran the table and beat Tommy. So he got the four and the Super Bowl. Yep. Guys like Drew Brees, zero. Kurt Warner with five in his first 4 years.
At that point, he was a veteran because he did not start in the NFL at like age 23 or whatever.
That was post-arena football and post-career as a grocer. Steve Young, zero, which...
Yeah, that makes sense.
And what I found, and we don't have to go through the whole list, but a lot of the older guys, it took them a long time to start.
Yeah.
Like Steve Young, he didn't really get... rolling as a starter, although he did in Tampa, and then with the Niners, he came off the bench.
Yeah.
The other one, which is really, it's funky, and you, of course you won't remember this, because I don't even remember it either, but Roger Staubach, he's got four in a Super Bowl, but he actually was a part of a quarterback share, where they started out doing, you play the odd games, I play the even games.
Wow.
Then they started switching plays. One quarterback would run out, Morton would run out, Staubach would run in, Staubach would run out, Morton would run in. So that was a hard one to figure. But yeah, the whole point of this is Joe Burrow five, Mark Rippon five. Brock Purdy's on a short list of first 4 years quarterback wins guys. Like, there aren't that many ahead of him.
So, okay. So the full list of players in their first 4 years as a starter. That have more postseason wins then Brock Purdy are Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson,
The Snake,
Jalen Hurts, and Kenny Stabler.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it.
And the Jalen Hurts one is true because we don't count that season where he started four games at the end.
But I did that, I wouldn't count Brock Purdy's season where he started five. Yeah. So I tried to look at every situation with a fair eye and say, were you really the starter?
No, I get it. It makes sense. And it's just, those are like legends and Jalen Hurts and then Brock Purdy.
Right.
Jalen Hurts, not a bad quarterback by any stretch. I'd take Brock over him, but he had a couple of good runs in the postseason and maybe he has more in him in the future. The Eagles certainly hope so. But I mean, that's pretty impressive that Brock Purdy is on that short list of players.
Yeah, this is just, again, first 4 years, and the other guys who join him, Joe Flacco's with five, and I mentioned Big Ben, Rippon, Burrow, Purdy, so he's at a point where you're with some guys who are kind of just guys. They had, a couple of hot teams, Mark Rippon in particular, but if Purdy can keep this thing rolling, get one more here in his first four seasons, he jumps up with, some of the elite.
A good question from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. The 408 says, how many does Jimmy Garoppolo have? Because Jimmy Garoppolo's first year as a starter, I guess you could... That's a tough one to determine what year was his first year as a starter, because 2017 was when he came in and started the final five games of the year, and they won all five of those games, but he was only starting because of injuries. The next year, he was a starting quarterback, but tore his ACL in the third game. Then his first full season as the starter, they went to the Super Bowl, and he won two postseason games, and then a few years later, he won a couple more postseason games. That would be four in his first 4 years, depending on when you start the clock.
And that's the reason why I didn't even compute anybody who had fewer than five overall. Mm. I didn't bother because they wouldn't be ahead of Brock, but Jimmy's a tough one because, much like Brock, 2017, they acquire him in a trade, and he becomes the starter.
Yeah.
So I would count that like I counted Brock's, and if you miss the year, I'm sorry, that counts as a year.
So he'd only have two. In your estimation.
Based on the way I computed it, yeah. And there's a lot of quarterbacks out there with four playoff wins. I think Jared Goff is in that group and a bunch of others, but I just went down to where you had five, knowing that you couldn't possibly have more than Purdy in your first four.
Well, I mean, that's a good statistic because I think it shows...
It's kind of random, but...
It is kind of random, but like there are a couple of names in there that you say, well, that's kind of weird. You don't really think of those guys as some of the best postseason quarterbacks, but you have the big names in there. You have Tom Brady, you have Patrick Mahomes. Of course, there's a few others that are just, you know, tied with or behind Brock that are some of the greatest quarterbacks to have ever played the game as well, but I think in general, it just goes to show, and I think... This also is a compliment to Kyle Shanahan and the overall system in general, but this is a quarterback, Dibs, that oftentimes has played his best in some of the bigger moments. And I know it's what we were talking about yesterday, you and Willard, about how many come from behind fourth quarter, you know, go-ahead scoring drives that Purdy has already authored in his career just in the postseason. There's already, what, five of them at this point?
Yep, and the team has four in total this year, fourth quarter comebacks, which... Shanahan doesn't usually do that.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.